full-time scores from around the leagues. Whitefield Trinity 24, Salford Red Devils 22, Widnes nil, Castleford 34 in Super League. In the Championship, Bradford Bulls 44, Batley 22, Dewsbury 6, Hulkington Rovers 48, Halifax 19, London Broncos 6, big win for Fax. In League 1, Hemel 10, Hunslet 58, it was Crusaders 8, Doncaster 44, surprise here, Gloucestershire 46, Keighley 22, and York City Knights just holding on 26, South Wales Ironman 24. It's that time of the evening where we head back to whichever ground we've been to. Today it's the Beaumont Legal Stadium, and catch up with Rugby League Hall of Famer Gary Schofield. It's quieting down a bit there now, Gary, and a great end to that contest again, which could have gone either way as we thought pre-match, and certainly could have done.
Yes, we did indeed, Richard, and dare I say we was expecting a good game of rugby league for the full 80 minutes. I guess we didn't get that for the first 40, a little bit scrappy. Salford are pretty disciplined, and Wakefield going into the lead at half time, deservedly so, but certainly in that second half, and quality game of rugby league. Salford, I say, with the forwards and the big men when they came back onto the field in Mossop, and I say, and Murdoch Massal and Flanagan and Kopchak, you know, they really took it to Wakefield Falls from there and got themselves into a winning position. And I was asking the questions, well, you know, can Wakefield come back 13 minutes ago? Can they get themselves not just back into the game, but can they maybe get the 2 points? And a little bit of indiscipline from Salford, and say Wakefield, the big word in the Super League at times, Rich, is that momentum. And they got the momentum. Salford a little bit indiscipline. Wakefield got themselves good field position and took the chances when they came along. And Riesling got himself a hat trick, and as I say, took his opportunities when they came along. But I just feel as though Salford, with Ian Watson, the coach, he'll be saying it's one that's got away and from themselves, but take nothing away from Wakefield. It's the first victory here since last May, which I'm pretty surprised at when they beat Warrington here last May. So yeah, Chester, he'll be delighted. And I say, against Huddersfield and Hull, they lost it in the last few minutes, and now they've just shown that they can win a game in the last minute as well.
Yeah, it does seem a very long time ago. And when, as you say, you look at those games early in the season against Hull, against Huddersfield, where they should have beaten Huddersfield, Hull perhaps more in the balance, but now that's 2 weeks in a row where they've shown they can win very tight games.
Well, they can, yeah, and I'd say it's just showing the character of the team's put it, what he's got here now in Chris Chester. And I say, but you would imagine that Ian Watson, the Salford coach, he'll be very, very disappointed in letting them back into the game. But if you're indisciplined, you give penalties away, then I say there's only one thing that's going to happen: you're going to concede the 4 points. And that's exactly what they did to Wakefield. And overall, for 40 minutes, yeah, a decent game of rugby league. And as I say, Wakefield 4 points on the board and pretty happy.
It looks like when Salford scored 4 tries in a row, you're thinking, well, this one's over and done with it, isn't it? 10-point lead for Salford. Have Wakefield got the minerals, as you would say, to come back? And they did. And I guess for Ian Watson's men, they'll be very disappointed, but at least next weekend they've got a fixture, oh dear, against the Castleford Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I say, as I keep mentioning week in and week out with players, it's all about consistency of performance, isn't it? And if you don't perform, for the full 80 minutes and you don't bring the A game, then you're going to get beat. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you have 10, 12, 15 minute spells where you need a bit of indiscipline, or you switch off for a second, you'll get found out and you'll get beat. It doesn't matter if you're the top of the league or the bottom of the league. And Salford, 2 points has got away from themselves, and then boy oh boy, they're at home next week. But is it any team in Super League? You know, they've already played Wigan, who were up there, but Castleford Tigers, they're going to Salford next week, so they really are going to need to bring the rear game, not just for 40 minutes, 50, 60, 80 minutes, or maybe 80 minutes plus, because as we know, Castleford are on fire at the moment. But let's take nothing away from Wakefield. They were dead and buried, dare I say, but with 12 minutes to go or so, you know, they showed the character and the spirit to get themselves back, got themselves the 2 points, and they'll be very, very happy.
Indeed, happier than many other clubs in the competition at the moment. Let's talk about Castle. Obviously, you haven't seen it, but I guess you know Daryl Powell very well. 34-0 win today. As great as Cass are going forward, I'm sure they must be pleased as punch to have conceded 0 points this afternoon.
Yeah, they will be. And as I say, in Daryl, the interview before the game started, and you know, that's they've worked pretty hard in the close season on the defensive. They don't they don't really class themselves as maybe the best in Super League, and it's what they've worked on because of the style of play, what they come up with. Yeah, they are gonna make mistakes. They're gonna cough the ball up, and at times they are gonna be pretty strong defensively. But yeah, he'll be happy with a zero. But Wolfie for sure again. The points points machine, and that team just keeps going on, doesn't it? Another 34 points. They were easy at Widnes. And I say they had a good performance against Catlins before, so they would have been pretty confident at Widnes. But Castleford, and I say, as I said in commentary here, Rich for mine, the grand final this year, we're going to see a fresh face there this year, Castleford Tigers, and I reckon it's quite simple here now. It's going to be between them and Wigan. Simple as that.
Well, with a neutral hat on, I think we do need to see a different team.
Oh, we've had it.
Because, you know, it can get very samey. So a team like Castleford, if it is them, will certainly shake things up, wouldn't they?
Oh, we've had it out. And I say, with the way the style of play, what they do, because they're not going to change. It doesn't matter if Castleford are playing in semi-finals or finals. They are not going to change their style of play. So it will be an absolute pleasure to see them in the finals. Hey, listen, I've not even said it this year, Richie. I've not said it this year. Castleford for the treble. What do you reckon?
Oh,
I've not mentioned it yet. I've not mentioned it. Castleford Tigers for the treble. Who said Mark Wilson's bonkers? Scoey reckons he's bonkers, but one thing for sure, you wouldn't rule it out, Richie, would you? You wouldn't rule it out, Cass.
Not at the moment. I think the only other team you would say is, of course, the team you've already mentioned in Wigan. And
yep.
I look at that bottom of the table. It's not good for Cheshire at the moment. Widnes and Warrington are both at the bottom, but Wigan, they just keep winning, and they did so again on Thursday against the Warrington Wolves, despite having a couple of kids on the wing.
Yeah, they are indeed. And I say the great thing about Wigan, isn't it, and the philosophy of Sean Wynne, and we're going to take his hat off to Sean as well, because, you know, he couldn't care less if that the youngsters have to come in, because they all know the Wigan philosophy, they all know the way that Wigan play, they all know exactly the job they've got to do and the contribution they have to do to the team, and they have that, you know, they have the 18 there at Wigan, but everybody knows the job, what they have to do there, and they enjoy it. And I say the young kid Marshall, well done to him, scoring four tries on his debut from there, but it's a credit to Sean Wynne, the way that he gets these players. It doesn't matter what age they are, and he believes they can do it. It doesn't matter if it's Tompkins who's out there, the experienced players, as we know Burgess out and Gildart is out. These young kids who come into that Wigan side, they know the job, what they have to do. They do it brilliantly as well, and it's a credit to Sean Wynne and his coaching staff, and believing and giving the confidence in his players.
Well, I guess this is an obvious question. Why don't more clubs do the same? Have everyone playing the same style all the way up the club?
Well, because they don't want to, do they? You know, they think, barging and percentages and, making sure we'll just grind teams down. So it's not a way, because I tell you what as well, we're going to play in a little bit different style of play this year as well. And, if he's not going to be in now, and say the way that Luke Gale is playing at number seven and George Williams at number six, I tell you what, I absolutely love watching George Williams now play. And you know what as well, and it's going to be the talking point tomorrow, certainly on the last tackle in the radio show, and as I say, with the halfbacks. And you look at the way that Sean Wynne says about George Williams, yeah, he's going to make mistakes, but I believe in this kid. This kid is quality, and he's going to play week in and week out, and I couldn't care less what anybody else says. And you know what, the three halfbacks who I feel sorry for, you know, now, because coaches don't, they won't give him the responsibility, they won't give him that belief and that confidence. What's happening with Jordan Lilly at Leeds? What's happened to Ian Richardson at St Helens this weekend? They're putting him John Wilkin there at number six, and he's getting ripped into tomorrow, I can reassure you. And also to Declan Patton at Warrington. I feel sorry for these halfbacks, because what they're being dropped, because senior players around them, they're not playing just as well, but they stay in the side. You know, I find it very wrong. And one thing for sure here, you know, if they took the philosophy of what Sean Wynne and believed in George Williams, I'd tell you what, everybody be happy, and I'd be very happy. There's no doubt about that.
Well, let's go back to Friday and that game. Hull 10-point winners over St Helens. Obviously Richardson dropped, and plan Z of John Wilkin in the halves, and Kieran Cunningham saying, you know, he tried his best and this, that and the other, but from the sidelines it does seem he's one of those players who doesn't perhaps come in for any degree of criticism from the media, mainly because he does work in the media. But Why can't you say, you know, he wasn't the right man to be in that position? Why did he drop Richardson, who I don't think had a terrible game against Wakefield?
No, Richie.
We go back to that penalty try. He had to do what he had to do.
Yeah, Richie, listen, exactly. You was there yourself, and I was there. Richardson wasn't the worst player for St Helens against Wakefield. No way, mate. And I said last week about these St Helens players, you know, and I've got Alan Hunt on my right-hand side, I've mentioned it to him. Then St Helens players, they've got to stop talk the talk, or they've got to start walking the walk, because they are letting their coach down there in Keenan Cunningham. And as I say, dropping young Richardson, I found it absolutely disgraceful, to be honest with you. And as I say, and John Wilkie playing him at half-time. Please do me a favour. Do you know what St Helens should do? If they don't believe in young Richardson, I'll tell you what, Sean Long's here on the coaching staff. Why don't they play Sean Long there? Because I tell you what, he could do a far better job than what John Wilkie can do. Without a shadow of doubt, it's an absolute disgrace that they even put him there. And they talk about a kicking game and organisation. Boy, oh boy. They don't know what they're talking about, these people.
He's a second row. He's a very good second row, is he? We're not saying he's
a bad
player.
No, Richie, correct. I am not saying he's a bad... He is a back rower. He's nowhere near a half-back, and he should not even be considered. And, I put a bit of blame on Keenan from there, but he should never, ever consider him. I would consider Sean Long before John Wilkie at half-back for St Helens. Simple as that.
Tell me about... the Leeds Rhinos versus Catalan Dragons. We were both there, and I thought it was a very good performance from the a couple of great tries. Rob Burrows' break from 60 metres out, and Jimmy Kindhorse's step from a dummy half. But Leeds could only beat the opposition put in front of them. A very slack performance from Catalans, but a good performance from Leeds.
Oh, it was, yeah. Very purposeful performance from Leeds as well. But, all right, Catalans, the pretty poor. Back to the Ali Usby, indiscipline in this sort of thing. But take nothing away from Leeds. Yeah, and Maguire and Burrow getting back to something like the best of forwards. Very purposeful. And then I thought Cooperson were outstanding, from there. Certainly just taking the ball up and the offloads from there. But, yeah, best performance from Leeds. And let's just hope now, again, it's consistency performance from them.
We obviously don't know how long Greg Bird's going to be out injured for, and I'm sure there'll be something to do with the judiciary over the hit on him, but he'll be a big miss for Catalans in the next few weeks.
Yeah, big loss. He's been their best player so far all season, hasn't he? And NSA, he's a leader from there, and I literally believe it's a broken thumb, so that could be, 2 to 3 months? So, yeah, he's going to be a big loss. But, yeah, the Catalans just themselves in discipline, and which cost them a little bit. It's not the performance what we've seen so far this season. They've been pretty consistent and been pretty good, to be honest with you. But, yeah, Leeds needed a reaction from the performance against Casford the week before. Great crowd again at Headingley, just over 13,500 from there. They needed a reaction. The coach himself, Matt Dermott, needed a reaction. They got it from the Leeds players, and let's hope now it gets a bit more confidence from themselves.
Indeed, very good performance from Leeds on Friday. You weren't in the press conference afterwards, so you'll have missed Brian McDermott saying he wanted to say after the defeat to Castleford that he thought Leeds could win the grand final. Do you think Leeds can win the grand final?
I tell you what, if Leeds win the grand final, I'm doing a naked run at Headingley. There you go. Leeds have no chance of winning the grand final. There you go. No chance.
Fair enough. I was thinking along similar lines, but I'm not going to take the risk of the bet there.
How are Leeds going to win the grand final then?
I don't know.
How are Leeds going to beat
Wigan? Well, they're fourth in the table, in the top four.
Well, they play Wigan. Well, the test of the big marker, Leeds' next two games is Wakefield, which on today's performance and Leeds' performance there, you go for Leeds. Then they play Huddersfield and then they play the mighty Wigan. So we'll see from there, won't we? But I've already put my neck on the line. The grand final this year is Cass and Wigan.
So when we do the predictions tomorrow, if I say Leeds by four, am I going to get stick again?
No, why are you going to say Leeds by four?
I don't know. I've not decided yet.
You won't say Leeds by four, Richard Shaw, right? You're away from your man. You
come for the draw.
Yeah, exactly. But interesting. It'll be interesting on Friday night, Leeds and Wakefield. I'd say now two on the bounce for Wakefield. They'll go there with pretty confidence. Leeds after that great victory against Catalan. So it should be a great atmosphere.
Wakefield fans love going to Leeds. The other game on Friday, we've got to talk about Huddersfield, nilled away at the Leeds Centurions, who continue their good start on their return to Super League. 2 wins from 5, but I mean, as much as we can say, winners today will obviously be very disappointed in not scoring against Castleford. There's a difference between not scoring against Castleford and not scoring against Lee.
Yeah, it is. And as I say, I think he's got big problems, Rick Stone, hasn't he? I think he's come back to haunt him a little bit again, where maybe he doesn't know what his best side is. And, they're very indifferent, aren't they? And, yeah, big problems for Rick Stone. Yeah, take nothing away from Lee. They weren't very good on the tap the week before against Wigan as well, by all accounts. They were pretty clueless, but got themselves a performance what they wanted. They are looking to make the home ground a bit of a fortress, so there won't be any easy games for anybody who goes to the Lee Sports Village this year. So, yeah, well done to Lee with the victory, but big problems for Rick Stone.
Just dipping into the Championship, good win for Bradford today, 44-22 over Batley. Hulkingston Rovers still unbeaten, 48-6 at Dewsbury. Very important result for Halifax, scoring 19 points to 6 winners over London Broncos, who've had a good start to the season. Halifax indifferent, so that's a that could be a kickstarter for their campaign.
Yeah, it is a big kickstarter. So at half time, we're just talking to the ex-Halifax great in Paul Dixon and asking the question, you know, what is going on with Halifax from there. He just said, well, again, it's inconsistent in performance, but today, because I like their coach Richard Marshall, he wants to play the game in the right way, so he's got a reaction from his players today. Obviously London, they're looking to maybe get in that top four and you know, for that middle eight. But reaction from the Halifax players, got it today, and a good victory to kickstart their season.
And League One, Hunslet winning at Hemel 58-10, working to one in the end, Scottish. You'll be happy. 20 points to 6 at
great.
Oxford.
Yeah, well done, boys.
Toronto beat Whitehaven. Doncaster dispatched of Crusaders. The surprise result of York just narrowly beating South Wales. Gloucestershire 46, Keighley 22. That's not a very good result, is it, for the Cougars?
No, it's not. No, there's high expectations there, certainly from the director's point of view, where they want Keighley to go this year. They want to be challenging for the top spot. So, yeah, very, very surprising result from there. But again, Rich, even in that division, as I've said, not just in Super League and in the Championship, and even that division, if you don't bring your A game for 80 minutes, anybody can beat anybody. But that's what we want, isn't it? That's the sort of competition we want, not just in Super League, the Championship, even though, and I say in League One as well, that's exactly what we want, you know.
It is. That's why the Super League's been exciting so far this season. When you look at the table, there's only two teams unbeaten, but everyone else, you think, well, everyone's got a chance against them. Well, I would say everyone's got a chance against everyone. That's probably a bit stretching a bit too far. But we've seen some very good games so far this season. I know we're easy to criticise rugby league going, but it's been a decent season so far.
Oh, it has. Yeah, one thing for sure, what we don't want, and we're not seeing, and I don't think we will see anymore, Rich, is games that are over by half time. I think them sort of days now, I think they have gone. And we want it going down to the last minute. We want it going down to the last play. And I say Salford could have won the last play. The big man himself, Murdoch Masali, if he'd have passed the ball, but he went for it there. But it's a great tackle in the end from Rhys Lynn, and he coughed the ball up there to win the game for Salford. But this is what we want to see. We want to see the games being played for 80 minutes, and we don't know the outcome. And hopefully, the days of where we saw games where they were over by half time, them days are long gone.
We'll talk more about Keith Holliday on RLNRY tomorrow night. His passing, Wakefield Trinity Hall of Famer this week. I'm not impressed by having a minute's applause during a game for that. I think that's something that's bang out of order, to be honest. That's the kind of thing you commemorate pre-match, isn't it? But we'll talk more about that tomorrow. You obviously played alongside Mick Adams, who's also passed away this week. Tell us a bit about the former Widnes forward.
Yeah, very, very sad news for me. And I say it's 65 years of age, but what a quality loose forward he was. And I say, creative player, good defender. But also, as well, I talked with Mick in 1984, and the advice what he gave me on that tour was just quite simple. Hey, listen, just be yourself and what you believe in. And they say if you have that confidence in your own ability, and I say make sure it sticks with you there. But boy, oh boy, could he play. And it was tough as well. He didn't mind the defensive side of it, and it took a few knocks. And as we know, back in them days, a little bit of elbows and knees and that sort of thing. But great person, great rugby league player, and he will be very, very sadly missed. As we know, he was part of the great Widnes side in them days, the Chemics, who were the Cup Kings, and quality loose forward.
Did you really need to be told to beat yourself, Scotty? I can't imagine you could be anyone else.
Sometimes. They might say, well, wring your neck in, but that's no. Some people might want to wring my neck, he was a great person. Also, too, as well, this week, I lost a great friend of mine, and also to assistant coach to David Ward and Malcolm Reed at Leeds, in Norman Smith. Norman Smith was an absolute great character. The kids he brought through at Headingley, when we had the A team in them days, and I say the quality of players who played under Norman, and very, very sad that my good friend Norman Smith passed away on Wednesday night. He was only 69 years of age. Great character, and he will be sadly missed by the great game as well.
Yeah, some sad times at the moment in the sport, as well as obviously the good stuff going on the field. What's in the column tomorrow, Scott? When I wake up and go to the paper shop, what are you going to be talking about?
Yeah, it's Warrington and St Helens dropping the halfbacks, and a few mentions about John Wilkin playing there. Simple as that. And Richie, I'm not having it. I'm just, can you remember with the days when, let's say, I was just finishing and then we lose forwards to standoffs? Can you remember that? It's an absolute joke. And I say, with John Wilkin, it just summed it up at the end of the game, didn't it? When I talk about vision and awareness and creativity, and he went for that kick, absolute useless. And you saw the frustration there of Kieran Cunningham. Do you know what? He should never, ever play at half-back again. playing for St Helens. And you know what? You ask the St Helens fans. You ask the St Helens fans what they think.
You know what they're like when they tweet us in on a Monday night. They're not very happy folks at the moment anyway. So I am sure they will continue to be not very happy folks either if things continue as they are. Well, Scott, you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll catch up with you tomorrow with the last tackle and, of course, Avalon RY from 6 o'clock. And I'm sure it will be as lively as ever.
I'm looking forward to it, Rich, and I can guarantee you it will be lively.
It's always lively. Oh, by the way, you know your friend Joanne's there from Featherstone later. You're not sticking around to get her a burger, are you?
No, it's not well half past seven, so I'll be nicely at home. Maybe an athlete's Chinese tonight, Rich, with some chips. So, unfortunately for Joanne, she's let me down again, the girl. Okay.